Renanim, and happy St. Patrick's Day from Cobb's Corner. Yes, happy St. Patrick's Day to my Irish listeners, whether if you're in Ireland or the United States, you know, very happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. You should all be wearing your green. As you know, you can see I'm got my Buddy the Elf shirt on. You know, I'm wearing green. I know it's not Christmas time, but, you know, it's the only green shirt that I have, you know, the only green apparel. So, yep, happy St. Patrick's Day. And this is the 77th episode of Cobb's Corner. So thank you for tuning in, Cobb's Corner family. Again, I'm taking suggestions for fandom names. So leave those in the comments. Fandom names for, you know, the Cobb's Corner community. I've just been saying Cobb's Corner fam. But St. Patrick's Day. So yeah, let's jump jump right into it. I hope that some of you maybe will be watching Gangs of New York. It's a great movie. It's a bit long, but Daniel Day-Lewis, Leonardo DiCaprio, solid film. Solid film. I will definitely have to review that one day. That, maybe The Departed. Yeah. So St. Patrick's Day. I'm not Irish, so I don't really celebrate it, but you know. So, although today is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, the last holiday, per se, that we had was Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, it's crazy, but Valentine's Day was 32 days ago. Yeah, February 14th. 32 days because, again, leap year. Yeah, it was leap year, you know, Valentine's Day, February 14th. So, first movie I'll discuss is Always Be My Maybe. Always Be My Maybe, which is, in my opinion, a classic. It's a classic rom-com. I don't know if you would categorize it as a chick flick or not, but it's a movie. It's out there. I loved it. Loved it. I think it came out in May of 2019. I've watched it every year. Every year I will watch that movie on Valentine's Day. Okay. It's definitely a Valentine's Day movie. It's definitely, you know, it's a very, very classic film. I mean, on the IMDb, everyone assumed that Sasha and Marcus would wind up together, except for Sasha and Marcus. Reconnecting after 15 years, the two start to wonder, maybe. I like how this movie talks about, like, your childhood, you know, having that childhood crush, having either, like, that childhood crush, having that person who you grew up with who was your best friend your whole life, and, you know, and then, especially if maybe you guys were, like, kind of the biggest will-they-won't-they of your neighborhood or of your school, you know, but then you've always maintained that you were just platonic friends, you know, and then of course, you know, you maybe come of age, you grow apart a bit, micro apart a bit, you come of age, you know, high school does not last forever. And then you kind of go off and make a name for yourself. Yeah, you know, make a name for yourself in the world. The movie does star, well, the movie's directed by Nanochka Khan. Nanochka Khan, who is a producer, writer, who's a writer and producer and director. You know, she is known for Always Be My Maybe and her work on American Dad, as well as Totally Killer. If she's known for directing Always Be My Maybe, she worked as a producer on American Dad. She was also a producer and showrunner for the show Fresh Off the Boat, I definitely caught a little bit of Fresh Off the Boat in real time. I definitely watched some of that show. So she's worked with Daniel Randall Park. So she's worked with Randall Park before. I think Randall Park, Constance Wu was a part of Fresh Off the Boat. That's a good show. Lots of sort of racial and cultural satire in that show. She was a producer on the movie Totally Killer, which I have not seen. Looks like it might be a like parody movie or something. So Ninashka Khan. Yeah, she directed this film. The movie was written by and stars both Ali Wong and Randall Park. Ali Wong and Randall Park, they both star in this movie, and they both worked on the film as writers. Ali Wong, actress, comedian, writer, producer. You've seen her in her Netflix stand-up specials, Ali Wong, Baby Cobra, Ali Wong, Hard Knock Wife, and I think she had one other stand-up special that I'm not entirely sure what the name is. She was on the Netflix show Beef with Steven Yeun. I think Steven Yeun, who played Glenn on The Walking Dead. She had a minor role as Ellen Yee in Birds of Prey and The Fabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Shout out to the DC fans. She was the voice of Allie on Big Mouth. So yeah, she's been around. You know, you've most likely seen something that she's been in. Ali Wong, very, very talented actress, comedian, writer. Randall Park, you know, the aforementioned Randall Park, he's an actor, writer, and also director. Randall Park, he was on the show. He was the father on the show Fresh Off the Boat. He played, I guess, President Kim. He played Kim Jong-un in the, I'll say infamous, The Interview, which I remember, you know, came out in 2014 and it never made it to theaters. It really wasn't that good. I don't know if we can say that was Randall Park's worst film, but let me know in the comments down below what do you guys think Randall Park's absolute worst movie was. He plays the role of Marcus. He plays the role of Marcus and Always Be My Maybe. I think most recently, us Marvel fans will know him as Detective Jimmy Woo. He was Jimmy Woo in Ant-Man and the Wasp back in 2018, and he reprised his role for the WandaVision series back in 2021. So he's got a lot of credits to his name. He plays Marcus, who's kind of this, who's kind of like, again, Sasha's like best friend growing up. You know, they're like the only two Koreans in their neighborhood. And, you know, while they're in high school, unfortunately, Marcus's mother passes away and she dies in a car accident when Marcus is still in high school. He's still like, you know, maybe 17 years old. And the two of them, they're just young and in love. And Marcus decides he's not going to college. And he really just becomes apathetic and cynical. And, you know, this is back in 2003. Sasha and him break up. And then they live completely separate lives for 16 years. All right, fast forward to 2019, which is when the movie takes place. And it's also the year that the movie came out. It's crazy that 2019 was 5 years ago, guys. So 16 years go by. Sasha is this like top tier, like A-list, like celebrity chef at this point. She's a celebrity chef. She's got her own restaurant. And, you know, Marcus is still living with his dad. He's still like his dad's, because Marcus was an only child. He's his father's primary caregiver. He's working with his father at their heating and cooling company. So he's really just living in that same neighborhood, the same neighborhood that he grew up in. He is living, he's living there, but he's not really living there. Let me say that again. He's living there, but he's not living there. He's got this band, Hello Peril, and he's just really living a stagnant life. He's pretty much saying, I never want to leave this community ever in my life, to know. And then his own band members, they want to be able to play at other venues and other parts of San Francisco. San Francisco is where they're from. You know, he wants to play the band members. They want to grow. They want to expand. They want to play other venues in and around San Francisco, the San Francisco Bay Area, and beyond. So, but Marcus, as like the leader of the band, he says, you know, no, we're not going to do well over there because we're not known over there. And it's like, well, we're not known over there because we've never played there. And so yeah, really, it's a movie about finding yourself and living life to the fullest, living your life to the fullest and not being so anchored to one place and not living in the past, living in the present and going after what you want in life. You know, going after what you want in life and not being afraid to take risks. Do not be afraid to take risks, to leave behind the neighborhood that you know, leave behind the country that you know, even, you know, leave behind the country that you know, leave behind the family, the safety of the neighborhood that you're in, the vicinity that you're in, that you know, go into uncharted territory. Take risks. That's what I think one of the main takeaways is of Always Be My Maybe. So, and I watch that movie every single year on Valentine's Day because, yes, it is a bit of a rom-com, but there's also some like real things that we can extract from that film as well. So, you know, round of applause to Anoushka Khan, as well as, you know, Ali Wong, Randall Park. The movie is also written by, there was a third writer on the movie, Michael Golomko. He was a writer on this movie, but then the only other movie that he's really known for working on is a movie from 2017 called Please Stand By. Which is a movie that I actually haven't heard of. It was based on some sort of play. He worked on the show Grimm. He was an executive story editor. So he's got some credits to his name, but he's really known for his work on Always Be My Maybe. Michael Golomko is his name. And the movie also stars James Saito. James Saito, he is the father. He is Marcus's father in the movie, Always Be My Maybe. He's a bit older. You know, he's a bit of an older actor. You have seen him play Kenji in Modern Love, the TV show Modern Love. I feel like I've heard of that. He played Dr. Frank Chen on the TV series Eli Stone, which aired from 2008 to 2009. And my fellow Ninja Turtles fans will know him as the Shredder from the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Yeah. And I, you know, regardless of what anyone says, okay, nothing beats the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. All right. I haven't seen Mutant Mayhem. I think Mutant Mayhem came out the exact same day that I flew out here to Micronesia. I think it came out like that same Friday, August 5th. So I'll have to check that one out when I go back home this summer. But yeah, nothing compares to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original live action Ninja Turtles from 1990. The 2014 Ninja Turtles was just awful. 2014 was really just the year I kind of gave up on Michael Bay in general. Michael Bay, not so much Universal Pictures, but Michael Bay in general, him as a director. Because 2014, we got first Transformers Age of Extinction, which was just terrible. I gave up on that franchise 10 years ago. I actually saw Age of Extinction in theaters and thought, what did I just watch? Yeah, between that and then the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot from 2014, just didn't work out. So, side rant. My side rant is over now. And so, actually, happy belated birthday to James Saito. Yep, James Saito, his birthday is March 6th. So, happy belated birthday, Mr. Saito. But he was great as the Shredder. Yeah, he killed it. He killed it as a Shredder. And I liked him in Always Be My Maybe because he's sort of, because he is the father and he is sort of telling Marcus, he's really like the voice of reason of the movie. He's telling Marcus, don't let this opportunity pass you by. You know, now that Sasha's back in town, the two of you grew up together. I always thought that you would end up together. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. You know, go after Sasha. You know, go after Sasha. And, you know, Marcus is saying, like, but if I leave you, like, I'm your primary caregiver. And then, you know, but then Harry's like, you think I can't stick a needle in my own arm or something? So, yeah. Not going to repeat exactly what he said, but. Yeah, check out Always Be My Maybe, guys. Check that movie out. It came out May 31st, 2019. So check it out, folks. On to the main event for this particular episode of Talk Time. Today, I will be talking about the show Genius. Now, I realize it's been a while. It's been almost a month since the show, season 4 of the show Genius, which is a series on National Geographic. National Geographic, they do the series Genius. I think, like, season 1 was, like, Albert Einstein. Season 3 was, like, Aretha Franklin, I think. So, season 4 is MLKX. Yes, MLKX. And the movie, or the show is based on the book, The Sword and the Shield. The Sword and the Shield. The Revolutionary Lives of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. All right. And this book, which is written by Peniel E. Joseph. Not sure if I'm pronouncing the first name correctly. But I like that this show dives into, and all the episodes are available on National Geographic and also on Disney Plus. Yep, they're all on Disney Plus. All 8 episodes. I like that this show dives into the life and the upbringing of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and how, you know, and I think they really did a good job. The show stars here. Yeah, the cast list. Show stars Aaron Pierre as Malcolm X, Kelvin Harrison Jr. as Martin Luther King, Jamie Lawson as Betty Shabazz. Who else? Gary Carr as Clyde X. That's all the cast that's listed. Right here. Series directed by As I'm going through the IMDb, right, we have Aaron Pierre did a great job as Malcolm X, Kelvin Harrison Jr. as Martin Luther King, Jamie Lawson as Betty Shabazz, Ruche Opia as Coretta Scott King, Gary Carr as Clyde X, Hubert Point du Jour as Ralph Abernathy. Now, Hubert Point du Jour, John Wick fans will remember him from the Continental series that was on Peacock last year. I forget his character's name, but Hubert Point du Jour, you've probably seen him pop up a few places here and there over the past year. Ron Cephas Jones as Elijah Muhammad, as the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Again, big shout out to the Nation of Islam and all of the list, all my listeners who are members of the Nation of Islam in the United States and worldwide. Big salute. And Lenny James, he played Martin Luther King Sr., Daddy King, aka, you know, Martin Luther King Sr. Lenny James, who you'll remember, played the role of Morgan. Best character on The Walking Dead. Morgan. Yes, Morgan. Best character. We see him on the first episode, and then we don't really see him again for a while, but yeah. Lenny James. Lisa Gay Hamilton as Alberta King, who was Martin Luther King's mom. Quentin Player is Grant X. So it's got a pretty stacked cast. I'm not going to go through the full cast and crew. But each episode dives into a different aspect of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and their different philosophies, differing philosophies, but it gives like the full context, the full story behind like how those philosophies were developed and their upbringings in American society. Like the first episode, Graduation, the short description, it reads, young Martin and young Malcolm are groomed to embrace racial pride and develop their purpose. That episode, we see how Malcolm's parents were very Garveyan. They were, Garveyans. His father was a Garveyan preacher who had preached Africa for the Africans. He believed that Black people needed to he believed that Black people could not gain freedom, any sort of freedom or peace in the United States. They believed that we all needed to migrate back to Africa and to build our own nations, our own peace in Africa, which is contrary to Martin Luther King Sr., who was also a preacher, just like his son, Martin Luther King Jr. And he said how Africans living in America, you know, African Americans needed to live in America and demand our rights here because we built this nation for 400 years for free. 400 years of our ancestors' blood, sweat, and tears were poured out onto American soil, built this nation for free. We need to demand our rights in our nation. Our nation, really. You know, really, we have more of a claim. And that's kind of where I would agree with Dr. King's father, Dr. King Sr., I should say, Martin Luther King Sr. That's where I would have to agree with him. I believe that foundational Black Americans, you know, those of us that are the descendants of slaves, all right, not those who just identify as African American, because you might be the descendant of maybe the descendant of an African immigrant, you know, but folks like myself who can trace their lineage back to Africa through slavery, who can, on both sides of my family, foundational Black Americans, those of us that are descendants of slaves, we have more of a claim to U.S. soil. We have more of a claim to America than any other group of people, really. So, and it's our nation too, and really it's more so our nation than any other group, because our ancestors literally built the White House. Right? And even post-slavery, the railroads, infrastructure, right? America was built by our ancestors. those who were slaves, and even post-slavery during Reconstruction. During Reconstruction, during the Great Depression, right? Our ancestors spilled blood for this nation on foreign soil. Now, World War II, Nam, Korea. So yeah, it's our nation. But we see that Malcolm and Martin are being brought up in like two completely different settings. We see how Malcolm X, or Malcolm Little, which was his name at the time, he's growing up sort of, you know, poor in Omaha, Nebraska. It's the 1930s, I think, either 1920s or 30s. And he's growing up, you know, black and poor in rural Nebraska. And one thing that I don't think was mentioned in the show, but Spike Lee mentioned it in his movie Malcolm X, and it's also mentioned in the book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X. Read that book if you have not read it. Malcolm's mother was raped by a white man. So his mother was technically biracial. Malcolm's grandmother on his mother's side had been raped by a white man. So his mother had made sure to marry, well, the way that they put it in the movie was that was Malcolm saying that his mother made sure to marry his father who was a very darker skinned individual, to make sure that the kids had some sort of, you know, actual melanin in them. So yeah, that, and we see how Malcolm's, you know, home life and how his father and his family was being terrorized by the Klan, by the Ku Klux Klan. And his father was supposedly killed by the Klan. His father was murdered by the Klan. And then after his father's death, the government came in and took away his mother, separated their children. And so really, Malcolm had a tough childhood. He had a rough childhood. And then moving to, you know, the house being bombed at a young age, and then him moving to Boston, well, the middle school that he was in. Very, very crucial scene that actually shows up in both Spike Lee's Malcolm X and in the show MLKX. We see a young Malcolm Little. He was probably maybe sixth or seventh grade, maybe elementary school. And he's running for class president. I'm sure there were probably creative liberties were taken where they, you know, dramatization and creative liberties were taken where they, you know, where they were able to be taken. But in the scene, Malcolm tells his teacher, Mr. Ostrowski, that he wants to be a lawyer. He says, I want to be a lawyer when I grow up. You know, most of the kids in the class, I'm the only black kid in the class, but I'm like your top student. Most of the students in this class like me. I'm your top student. I want to be a lawyer. But Mr. Ostrowski tells him how a lawyer is no job for a nigger, right? And I'm just reiterating what was told to, you know, to Malcolm. I guess trigger warning for the rest of this episode. You know, I know I typically try to keep this up. I try to keep the episodes more clean and, you know, family friendly. But you know, but there are times where I will talk about shows like MLKX, and I will have to maybe use some, you know, suggestive terminology from time to time. But this will not be the norm. So this is one of those times. So, you know, spoiler warning if you haven't watched the show, and, you know, trigger warning if, you know, these kind of, you know, topics are not, you know, if you're not comfortable with these sort of topics, you know, trigger warning, feel free to log off. And no judgment, you know, judgment-free zone. So he tells young Malcolm that that's no job for, you know, someone like you, but you're good with your hands. You should be a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. So from a young age, Malcolm is being told that he cannot be all that he wants to be simply because of the color of his skin. So, and this is contrary to Martin Luther King, who had a more stable home life. He had a middle-class American life. No, he did not come from wealth per se. His family was not wealthy. And yes, he did grow up in, you know, still segregation and, you know, during Jim Crow. And he did grow up in the South. You know, he's from Atlanta. So he grew up in the Jim Crow South, although his family was doing okay for themselves. His upbringing was not as rough as Malcolm X's. You know, Martin, he had the opportunity to go to college and to get a PhD and to become a pastor. So he had that, I guess, more positive upbringing. You know, his upbringing wasn't as rough. You know, it wasn't like Malcolm who had lost his father at a young age and who had lost his father from a young age and then had been separated from his mother in the aftermath of that. And then moved over to Boston to live with, I think, one of his cousins, and then gets involved in the streets because that's like the only option that he had. He had, you know, the option of getting involved in the streets, and then, you know, he ends up robbing this one really, really nice like mansion, ends up robbing the house. And then he gets caught, gets locked up, you know, and gets sentenced to, now I looked this up. His initial sentence was 10 years. Now he was 20 years old when he got sentenced. He sentenced to 10 years, but I think he only served like either 6 or 7 of those years. But he was released early. So Malcolm had that rough first like 18 years of his life. It was rough, to say the least. And he saw the worst. He experienced the worst side of humanity and of racism. All right, he got the worst part. He experienced the worst parts of it. Now, at a young age. And that definitely does something to you psychologically. And then also, again, being thrown in jail. Yes, and also being thrown in jail. And that jail time, but that jail time was essential for him. During his time in jail, he used that opportunity to read. Now, granted, in this show, we don't see a whole lot of, there's not a whole lot of time. I get that it's a like mini series and they have to kind of give equal amount of time to both Malcolm and Martin. And it's a comparison of those two. It's not a series just about Malcolm or just about Martin. So we do see some scenes of him in jail. And he encounters some people from the Nation of Islam. He converts to Islam, gets clean, starts reading more. In the movie, Malcolm X, Brother Baines, who's a fictional character, who's more of a conglomerate of multiple people that Malcolm encountered throughout his time in the Nation of Islam, throughout his time incarcerated, and then his time on the outside. He copies down every word in the dictionary. Copies down every word in the dictionary, uses his time in prison to better himself. We see that transformation. And there's even a scene on the show, on the first episode of Graduation, there's a debate between the Norfolk prison debate team that Malcolm was a part of and Princeton University, an Ivy League school. So Malcolm proves his intellectual ability, you know, while incarcerated. You know, he proves that he has intellectual ability, that he has potential, you know, just despite his past mistakes. And I think the Norfolk prison debate team actually beat Princeton University. So yep, he used that time in prison to better himself. So you know, the whole discussion about, like, is prison bad? I think that not necessarily prison, but using, and I talked about this in my Count of Monte Cristo review, making the best of your worst days, using the time where you have, you know, whether that's, God forbid, incarcerated, you know, God, you know, if you've, God forbid, been incarcerated, or you've, you know, been sent home, or, you know, use your setbacks as opportunities to reevaluate your life. You know, he could have just sat in prison and just given up. Could have just given up on life. Said, you know, this is where I'm going to, you know, I'm going to end up dying in prison and I'm never going to see the light of day again. He could have done that. But instead, he chose to better himself during his incarceration. He said, I'm going to read as much as I can. I'm going to convert to Islam. I'm going to get clean. I'm going to learn all that I can about the world and about life. I'm going to use this opportunity. Maybe 7, 8 years, however long he was locked up for. I will use this opportunity to better myself. But given the fact that he had those setbacks while he was in prison, you know, Martin was, you know, off in college and he was actually making a name for himself and meeting. And, you know, he met his wife in college, you know, Coretta Scott King. And his life was much more, I don't want to say better, but his life had less disadvantages. So I like that this show, I probably can't talk about every single episode. I mean, that's just the first episode. Check this show out on Disney Plus if you have not already. I think I made a post about it on Instagram. But I like that this show, it compares and contrasts not just the philosophies of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, because people try to put them against each other. They were not enemies. They were allies. They had a mutual respect for each other. And there's the scene. Now, we don't actually see it happen, but there's that scene, I think, on the last, or either the last episode or the second to last episode, where Malcolm is about to go speak at the Audubon Theater. Then all you hear, and then the screen fades to black. The screen cuts to black. All you hear is, get your hand out of my pocket, and then gunshots. Now, those of you who have seen Malcolm X know exactly what happened. You know, Malcolm was murdered in 1965 at the Audubon Theater in Harlem. And the thing I like about this show is the fact that we see how apparently Martin had written a letter to Betty Shabazz, Malcolm's widow, and expressed his condolences for the loss of Malcolm X, who, you know, was again an ally of his, someone who Martin respected. So someone who Martin loved and respected. Yes, they had differing philosophies, but they had a common goal. They had that common goal. So they had that common goal of freedom for all Black people. And I also know that Stan Lee, he based Magneto off of Malcolm X. And I kind of saw the comparison when I was watching X-Men First Class. You see, Magneto is a Holocaust survivor. So him as a mutant, he experienced the worst parts of humanity. You know, he experienced the worst parts of humanity, the Holocaust, which was horrific. Him not only being a Jew who survived the Holocaust and who had to watch his parents get killed in a Nazi concentration camp in Poland, but he was also a mutant. So he's experienced anti-mutant. He not only has he experienced anti-Semitism, but he's also experienced anti-mutant propaganda. Malcolm X had his father, Malcolm X, his father was murdered when Malcolm X was very young. His house was bombed. His house was bombed by the Ku Klux Klan. And his mother was put into a mental institution, psychiatric ward. His mother was taken away from him at a young age. And then he was told that he would never amount to anything, that he shouldn't chase his dreams, that he shouldn't apply himself, that he should be realistic, stay in his lane. And then he was thrown in prison and transformed. So I can definitely see the similarities. I can see why Stan Lee based Magneto off of Malcolm X. And he based Professor X, Charles Xavier, off of Martin Luther King. Because like Martin Luther King, Professor X had a decent childhood. Again, didn't come from wealth. Well, okay, in Professor X's case, he actually did come from wealth. And yes, sure, Professor X, as a mutant, he experienced some anti-mutant sentiment. And of course, Martin Luther King, growing up in the Jim Crow South, he did, of course, experience racism and anti-black prejudice and, you know, all that sort of thing. But he grew up in a stable two-parent household. You know, two-parent household, middle class. And then Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, they became two prominent figures of the civil rights movement with the same goal, but different philosophies. They were allies instead of enemies. Malcolm never once openly advocated for violence. And in the wake of Malcolm's murder, Martin even started to change his philosophy a bit. After Malcolm was murdered in 65, you know, Martin Luther King, he started meeting. There's a famous photo of him sitting down with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He started to actually go and approach, you know, members of the Nation of Islam, including the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he started to sort of tweak his message of maybe this whole, you know, coexist peacefully and turn the other cheek mentality. Maybe that's not okay. Maybe when it comes to like integration and ending segregation, maybe that's not really the answer. Maybe we need to separate. Maybe there are things we need to deal with first as a community. Maybe we need to separate. Maybe we need to do for ourselves. Maybe we need to open our own restaurants. You know, they don't want us sitting at their lunch counter. Let's open up our own restaurant with our own lunch counter. You know, maybe we need to separate. You know, these are the things that Dr. King started to consider after the passing of Malcolm X. So this whole idea that they were polar opposites is false and it's flawed. And, you know, one day I would like to. Now, I realize that, and again, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong in the comments down below. I'm not even sure if there's particularly a Martin Luther King biopic. Like, I know there's been portrayals of Dr. King in cinema. Like, I know there was, I think, one scene in Lee Daniels' The Butler where we see, and I don't know who portrayed Martin Luther King on that show, but in Lee Daniels' The Butler, there's one scene with Dr. King. There's a scene, although I didn't watch season 3 of Genius, I know season 3 of Genius, a few years back, they did on Aretha Franklin, and I know Martin Luther King showed up in that episode, in that series, excuse me. The only real portrayals of Martin Luther King that I've seen in film are in the movie Selma, where he was played by the British guy. Selma, directed by Ava DuVernay. David Oyelowo. Yeah, David Oyelowo. Oyelowo. Came out Christmas 2014. I remember because I saw this on... I remember because we saw it on a field trip. Saw it on a field trip, and it had that song Glory by Glory by John Legend. And I went to the Eastern Region Teen Conference with Jack and Jill. Shout out to Jack and Jill. Shout out to the Greater New Haven chapter. Shout out to the New Haven chapter, the Hartford chapter, the Stanford Norwalk chapter, the Bridgeport chapter. I don't know if you guys are Eastern Fairfield County chapter. I was raised in Jack and Jill. I was there. I was in Jack and Jill from the time I was 3 to the time I was 17. So beginning all the way up through high school. And that was the song that was played on repeat during the teen conference was Glory by John Legend featuring Common. Yeah, John Legend featuring Common. Common, who's actually in the film. So I know. And really, Daniel Oyelowo, he killed it. He killed it as Dr. King. Dare I say his portrayal was probably the best portrayal of MLK that I've seen on screen. The other main portrayal of MLK that I've seen, of Dr. King that I've seen in film was the movie All the Way. All the Way is a historical drama from 2016, which that movie, delves more into the relationship between Martin Luther King and President Lyndon B. Johnson, who they didn't really get along too well. I mean, the movie Selma takes place in 1965. All the Way takes place in like 1964. That movie begins with Kennedy's assassination. Like the movie starts with, you know, Kennedy has been assassinated and LBJ has now been sworn in. There's a famous photo of Lyndon B. Johnson taking the oath of office on Air Force One just moments after the murder of President John F. Kennedy back in 1963. Bryan Cranston, he stole the show with his portrayal of Lyndon B. Johnson. I think his portrayal of Johnson was iconic. I wasn't too crazy about Anthony Mackie as Martin Luther King. Maybe it's just because I'm too used to seeing him as Falcon. As Falcon in Falcon and the Winter Soldier and in the Marvel movies. It's actually funny that I mentioned Falcon and the Winter Soldier because there's an episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier that I think the scene's supposed to take place in Baltimore. They filmed it in Atlanta. And if you look closely in the background, you can see the Martin Luther King house. I don't know if that was intentional or not, the fact that Anthony Mackie has portrayed MLK, but I wasn't too crazy about him. Wasn't too crazy about his portrayal of Dr. King. And I liked that movie All the Way, which I think you can find it on Max, if not mistaken. Watch options. Yeah, it's available on Max. I like that movie. It dives into the relationship that Dr. King had with more radical, more militant Black leaders like Stokely Carmichael, who's played by Mo McRae. Kwame Ture, I should say. Kwame Ture, who I think at the time that this movie is set, the time in which this movie takes place, he was still going by Stokely Carmichael. He's played by Mo McRae, as well as Bob Moses, played by Mark Richardson, who you've seen on the show Dear White People. He was Reggie on Dear White People. And Aisha Hinds as Fannie Lou Hammer. Aisha Hinds, who, if I'm not mistaken, also played Harriet Tubman, I think. Or I might be mistaken. I might be confusing her with someone else. No, that was Cynthia Erivo. My mistake, guys. I'm not gonna spread any misinformation on these airwaves. but definitely check out All the Way. Check out Selma if you haven't already. I would like to maybe review, maybe for, like next year, like for MLK Day, I might do Selma. I might do Selma. I might do Malcolm X at some point. If I ever do like a series on maybe like Black directors, because I would like to review a lot of Spike Lee's films. Like I think on the last episode of Talk Time, either the last episode or the episode before that, I talked about his movie Crooklyn. So yeah, Spike Lee is such a great director. I would like to review maybe some of his stuff, particularly his movie Malcolm X. So yeah, I'll probably do Malcolm X. Look forward to Malcolm X, maybe Selma. Check out MLKX on Disney Plus. I realize we are approaching the hour mark, people. Hang in there. I watched the movie Whiplash. It's an R-rated film from 2014. A promising young drummer enrolls at a cutthroat music conservatory where his dreams of greatness are mentored by an instructor who will stop at nothing to realize a student's potential. The movie is directed by Damien Chazelle. Damien Chazelle, who is known for writing La La Land. He was a writer on 10 Cloverfield Lane and the producer of the movie First Man from 2018. He's a writer. He's a producer. He also directed Babylon. He's a director of the movie Babylon, which I feel like I've mentioned on a number of my episodes. Yeah, that movie. So he also was a writer on Whiplash. Or he wrote and directed Whiplash. The movie stars Miles Teller alongside J.K. Simmons and Melissa Benoist. Miles Teller, he is an actor and producer, best known for his roles in the movies The Spectacular Now. He played Shutter in The Spectacular Now back in 2013. He was Peter in the Divergent series Insurgent film from 2015. And of course, he played Reed Richards in the infamous Fantastic Four reboot from 2015. I know he was also on the show The Offer, the TV miniseries, which is currently streaming on Paramount Plus, The Offer. And he was Lieutenant Bradley Rooster. He was Rooster in Top Gun Maverick, a movie that I still have not watched. So Miles Teller, you've seen him before. J.K. Simmons. Whew, J.K. Simmons. How many of us actually haven't seen anything that J.K. Simmons has been? I mean, this man, he has been acting a very long time, but I feel like he's most notably known for his role as J. Jonah Jameson in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy, as well as J. Jonah Jameson in, most recently, as J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man No Way Home, which came out back in 2021. He was Bill in La La Land and Mac McGuff in Juno. That's just to name a few of the things that he has been in. Melissa Benoist, Benoist. She plays Nicole. She plays Nicole in Whiplash. She played Chronic in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. She was Catherine Russell in the movie Patriots Day 2016, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot 2019. She played Bizarro for 126 episodes on the show. I guess Bizarro and Kara Danvers, Kara Zor-El on the show Supergirl, the CW series Supergirl, which aired from 2015 to 2021. And that's just to name a few of her acting credits. Now, Whiplash, this movie deals with a music teacher. Now, I played the alto sax when I was in high school. But J.K. Simmons, he plays a music teacher who's very extreme, very firebrand methods. He's a perfectionist. You know, he is not only like pushing his students to the limit, but he is demanding excellence. He's demanding excellence, demanding outstanding performances from his students, and really his students are kind of suffering because of it. So Whiplash is a movie. It's on Netflix. Check out this movie. It is available to stream on Netflix. It is also available for rent on Amazon Prime. You know, I mean, this movie, just looking at the storyline, just going to read the storyline. 19-year-old Andrew Neiman wants to be the greatest jazz drummer in the world in a league with Buddy Rich. This goal is, despite not coming from a pedigree of greatness, musical or otherwise, with Jim, his high school teacher father, being a failed writer. Andrew is starting his first year at Schaefer Conservatory of Music, the best music school in the United States. At Schaefer, being the best means being accepted to study under Terrence Fletcher and being asked to play in his studio band, which represents the school at jazz competitions. Based on their less than positive first meeting, Andrew is surprised that Fletcher asks him to join the band, albeit in the alternate drummer position, which he is more than happy to do initially. Andrew quickly learns that Fletcher operates on fear and intimidation, never settling for what he considers less than the best each and every time. Being the best in Fletcher's mind does not only entail playing well, but knowing that you're playing well, and if now what you're doing, okay, oh, but knowing that you're playing well, and if not, what you're doing wrong. He models his modus operandi, MO, creates an atmosphere of fear and of every man or woman for his/herself within the band. Regardless, Andrew works hard to be the best. He has to figure out his life priorities and what he is willing to sacrifice to be the best. The other question becomes how much emotional abuse he will endure by Fletcher to reach that greatness, which he may believe he can only achieve with the avenues opened up by Fletcher. So yeah, Terrence Fletcher, he's more of the extreme example of someone who, like I said, demands greatness and demands like perfection. You not only to know that you're doing well, but know why you're doing well. And, you know, but really, I think Whiplash is a movie about going after what you want in life, regardless of what anybody else tells you. You know, if you want something, go get it, period. You know, going after what you want in life, going after, whether that's, you know, greatness, whether that's service to others, being able to go after it, regardless what anybody says, and your ability to perform under pressure. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to, you know, life is not easy. Life is hard. So, and yes, you know, Terrence Fletcher is a fictional character, you know, and yes, he's the extreme example of like all stick, no carrot. And, you know, demanding excellence, demanding perfection, and the ability to play really well, to know why you're playing well, and if you're not playing well, to know why you're not playing well, and to know what you're doing wrong. and pretty much using fear to intimidate folks, which I would not advocate at all. All right. But, you know, whiplash from the student's perspective, from Miles, from Andrew's perspective. Andrew represents that voice inside of us telling us to go get it, telling us to go after what we want in life, to achieve greatness, despite what anybody else thinks, despite what anybody else says, because not everybody is going to be nice to you. You know, there are some people who will try to take advantage of you. There are some people who will try to tell you you're not good enough, but you have to be willing to shut them out and go prove them wrong. Go prove them wrong. That's like the main takeaway from the movie Whiplash. Now, it's got a real killer soundtrack. Big shout out to all of my musicians that are listening. You know, big shout out to all the musicians that are listening, the drummers, the saxophonists, the music teachers that are listening. You know, music is important. It's very, very important. You know, check out Whiplash. It's on Netflix. And let me know in the comments below what you guys think about that. Well, that is about all the time that we have for today. You know, I really wish we could just keep this going. Really wish that we could just keep this live stream going forever and ever and ever, but you know, that's just not possible. If you liked what you heard today, do not forget to give us a 5-star review wherever you're listening from. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you have not done so already. Follow Cobb's Corner on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok so that you can stay up to date on all things Cobb's Corner. All of that information is in the description / show notes below, depending on whether you're listening to this, whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening to this on a podcast listening platform. If you're listening to this on a podcast listening platform, then all that information is in the show notes below. But if you're watching this on YouTube, it's in the description. All those links are in the description below. If you made it to the end of this episode, I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Be sure to turn on your post notifications so you get notified when I post. Again, tune into Talk Time with Morgan Cobbs Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Chuuk Standard Time. We go live here on YouTube Sundays, 8 a.m., and then it's available everywhere else the next day. I hope you guys enjoyed your stay here at Cobb's Corner. We are your one-stop shop for all things TV, film, and pop culture. And as always, I'll talk to all of you in the next episode. Peace.